We invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8. We shall strive to preach with your prayers and God's help out of verse number 12, gnashing of teeth. What an unusual subject. I have read over that phrase all of my Christian life and not really stopped to figure out what it meant. But today the Lord has had me to look into the scriptures and see some various things concerning this, and I hope you'll be blessed and edified by it. Before we start, let me just take a minute or two and thank those of you who have been supporting this ministry, not only with your prayers and with your attendance and watching and listening to the Word of God, but have also been sending anonymous gifts during this time of pandemic. I greatly appreciate it. It's mighty gracious of you, and they're all appreciated. And then some dear soul sent us a letter listing out all the verses of Out of the Ivory Palaces and gave us the passage in Psalm 45:8, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." And I appreciate that. They took time to print the entire song and to tell me when it was written and who it was written by. So it's in the Sing Praises hymnal, page 55. All right. So somebody did a real study on this and took a lot of time to do that. And I just want to let y'all know that I appreciate so much your encouragement of this poor sinner striving to be responsible to God and to bring you the message of God by the Holy Spirit. All right, Matthew chapter number 8. We'll begin reading with verse number 5, and we're going to look at the phrase in verse number 12, gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority." He understood what authority was in the Roman army. God uses all kinds of things, or really uses everything, if people have the ear to hear and the eyes to see, to reveal to you the person of Christ. He said, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." You don't have to come. Just speak the word. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." I'm under authority, and I have soldiers under me. "And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, this is amazing to me. What makes God marvel? "And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed." He turned around and talked to the others that were there listening to him and the centurion. And he began to talk to the others about the centurion. He said, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." This is a Gentile. This is a Roman centurion. He's saying, "I have come to Israel, and you don't have the kind of faith that this Gentile has." Excuse me. That's what made God marvel. Great faith was that which caused God to marvel. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's our passage. So he said, there's going to be a lot of people come and going to be drawn in that are not really sincere and don't have this kind of faith. And he said, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now, in the middle of this passage, wherein God, the person of God, the man God, the God-man, was made to marvel. It was pleasing and astounding to him that this man had this kind of faith. And in the middle of this, he brings up what's going to happen to those who should have had this kind of faith but didn't. And that's where we get our phrase, gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom, what does that mean? It means those naturally born Israelites. They were not spiritually born from above by the Holy Spirit, evidently like this Roman centurion was. He had come to know God through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit moves like the wind blows where he wills. And everyone is born of the Spirit is born in that manner. But Jesus said, but the children of the kingdom, those that don't have to come from afar, they don't come from the east or the west and sit down with Abraham like these Gentiles are going to have to. He said, but those that are just the children of the kingdom now don't appreciate it, don't receive me. They are going to remain in darkness inwardly, and they shall be then put in outer darkness. And we find this phrase, outer darkness, related to the gnashing of teeth in several passages. So when there is outer darkness, there is the gnashing of teeth. Now, what does the word gnashing mean? I looked it up for you. It means, and I quote, to grate the teeth in pain or rage. So says Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Gritting of the teeth, so mad at somebody, hating them, or in so much excruciating pain. That's what it's talking about. He said, there's going to be this much pain in those who are in outer darkness so that they will grate their teeth or gnash their teeth. So we understand, dear soul, that the heart has a great deal to do with the mouth. Look at Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse number 34. Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers, how would you like to have Jesus to be your pastor? O offspring of snakes, that's what he's saying. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? If you're evil, there cannot be anything but evil things come out of your mouth. Listen, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So there's a connection between the heart, not the pump that pumps blood, the physical heart, but the spirit of man. When he is evil, then it has an effect on his mouth. And one of the things that happens is when people hate God and his people so desperately that they will then grate their teeth, not only in hatred towards them, but also in the pain of themselves being in outer darkness while they see the children of light in the glory of God and in the light of life. Let's keep reading. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Right? Matthew 12, 35. Yep. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So the grating of the teeth, the gnashing of the teeth, comes from a soured spirit, an evil spirit within them. It manifests itself in that way. And folks, I have actually seen people with the problem of grating their teeth as the gospel was preached. I remember one particular man, he had that problem. He couldn't hardly talk. He grated his teeth so much, and it was later discovered that he was involved in incest in his family. It's evidence. It evidences itself. It will come out. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Your mouth is going to be affected. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you," now listen, "but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Wow. And that's why the Bible says study to be silent. Because we're going to have to give an account of every idle word we have ever said. And listen what it says. Verse 37. This is an amazing verse. Matthew 12:37. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this. The Lord, all he has to do is to bring up all the words, what kind they were, how they were spoken. Were they evil words or were they good words? Were they words that edified other people, or were they words that tore them down and brought evil upon those folks? It is so much so that a good man, born again, regenerated, he cannot but speak good things. Therefore, the mouth reveals the heart. So all you got to do is listen at the mouth to find out, is he a born-again child of God or not? Is she a born-again child of God or not? And God said, I don't have to get any witnesses to come up and raise their right hand, swear to tell the truth, and say, were they a good person? Were they a good neighbor? Were they a good whatever? I have the words out of their mouth. And those words come from the mouth, but they come basically from the heart. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is affected and it reveals itself. So these people who gnash on me with their teeth, he said, they are in outer darkness. They are evil people. That's how we understand and know them. So it says, in verse number 12 of Matthew 8, which is our text, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." Now, folk, I really don't understand and know the depth of that. I'm going to give you everything that I do know about it. But this outer darkness is not just somebody turn the lights off and I stump my toe on that chair. This is I hate to say it this way, a positive absence of God. It is a damning and horrifying effect of being totally without God. They don't have any light within them, but they still have the grace of God in this world. So they don't know the full judgment of God as yet. But one of these days, those with inner darkness are going to be put in an atmosphere totally devoid of God and all goodness. In fact, it's going to be filled with the demonic forces of Satan. So the inner darkness is going to be put into outer darkness. Those with inner light are going to be put in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. So this gnashing of teeth is associated time after time, and we'll read you some of the scriptures, with outer darkness. And that, as I said, bespeaks of inner darkness and of an evil and wicked heart that brings forth the evil and wicked things out of the mouth. Now, go over to Mark chapter 9. The book of Mark, chapter 9. Let's begin reading with verse 15. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "Why are you questioning my disciples?" Now, up on the mountain where he was with Moses and Elijah and those that he elected to go with him, there was no plaguing of those people. And if you Christians, having had different mountaintop experiences, the one thing that was so wonderful about the presence of God in such a strong way was there was nobody around to gnash on you with their teeth. There was nobody around to question you, to ask you, "Why are you doing this? Prove yourself." There wasn't any contention. But now that he's come down, and here he is in the valley, coming down from the mountain, he asked the scribes, "What are you doing questioning my disciples?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, a demon. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." Two things. He taketh him, he teareth him. Wherever he takes him, he tries to destroy him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. I wanted to read you this verse to get you to understand that gnashing with the teeth comes from demon possession. They are going to dwell in outer darkness. The demons that was in the man that Jesus cast out, they said, we're legion because we're many. And they said, "I know what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to cast us out of this man. But we don't want to be without a body to inhabit. So let us go into those pigs." Jesus said, "Okay, go ahead." Well, the pigs wouldn't live with the demons. They jumped down off the cliff and fell into the sea, and all of them drowned. But this man, he had demons, and Jesus cast them out. Now, it said, if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy." Now, people with demons, and they can be physically within our church congregations. You bump shoulders with them every day. Maybe on your job, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe, in the grocery store, wherever. And you don't know it. And you better be thankful that God is in you, protecting you and taking care of you, because these demons want to inhabit a physical being. So he said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Those that I have come upon that are demon-possessed, you can tell them by the Holy Spirit in you, preaching the Word of God, they get to the place where they despise you. They hate you. They will steal everything you have. I'm not talking about stealing your car or stealing your money. That may happen, but I'm talking about stealing your reputation, lying on you, do everything they can to destroy you in any way they possibly can. And dear soul, I'm going to tell you this. If they can't steal what you have in any way they can by lying and slandering, if God didn't protect you, they would kill you. You say, "Oh, you just..." No, I'm not. Read your paper. Read the news. Check on the news lately. This man shot down so many people in the drugstore. This person just shot down people on the street. This guy went into the post office and mowed down all the employees. Dear soul, we're living in a day where hell has come on the top of the ground, and we're seeing that the demonic forces in human beings are just destroying human beings any possible way they can. And this is a time and a land of sudden death. Those that have been often reproved and hardened to their heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And that's where we are. So gnashing on you with their teeth is an evidence of two things. They got inner darkness and headed for outer darkness. That's one thing. Or they despise you, and you have shed light on them, and they despise that light. We'll get to that in a minute in John 3. So here we have this. He says, he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. Mad, violent, mean, and pineth away. Just leaves him without any energy whatsoever. Just pineth away. He just destroying that poor boy. That demon was. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. Here was another thing that we should have our minds set on. We should see that Jesus expected his church to be able to handle things like this. And this whole, I don't think Christians realize how powerful the gift of prayer is, that they might keep Satan at bay, that they might be able to be protected, that they might flee to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Keep me, Lord, from the evil man, from the evil day, from outer darkness. And the prayers of God's people are heard, and God takes care of them. And the Holy Spirit being in them, James said, you know what? You can't have bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same fountain. So God fill us with the Holy Spirit, the sweet fountain of grace and mercy, and we can't be filled with the unholy spirit of demonic forces. So we ought to be thankful that we are born again and God dwells within us. And they brought him unto him, and he saw him. And when the man with the demon saw him, he straightway, the spirit that was in him, the demon, didn't tear him. You get these people in front of the presence of God, that demon goes crazy because he knows what's fixing to happen. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And Jesus said to the daddy, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, it's been happening to him ever since he was a child. He probably went to vacation Bible school or Sunday school and made a false profession of faith. And I'll read that to you later in 2 Peter chapter 2. And he got filled with the unholy spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And that's the two opposite forces of judgment. The waters of Noah flooded the whole world. That was one judgment. Then the judgment of fire, God shall melt the earth with fervent heat, and the earth and everything therein shall be burned up. So the demon does everything he can to destroy him from one degree of judgment and damnation to the other, from the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Like I said, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And if they can't steal everything you got, they will destroy you. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now that's a father. That ain't just a daddy. He said, this is my problem too, as well as my son. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Holy Spirit within you, granting you faith and granting you belief, he that believeth is not condemned. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. Belief, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings all possibilities to you. And straightway the father of the child cried out, I like this, bless his dear heart, and said with tears, Lord, I do believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, as far as I know, I believe as much as I possibly can. I hope that this is true faith and true believing, but if it's not, help me with that which I can't see and can't do. Do you pray that? Father, here's everything I have for you, but I know it's not enough. Help me with that which I do not have, that which I do not see, that in which I am yet to be developed. Lord, help me. Listen, when Jesus saw that the people came running, didn't want it to be a spectacle. Here they all come wanting to see something. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and listen, I like this, and enter no more into him. We're going to read a passage where this demon was cast out, but he came back and got back into the man again. Jesus is going to shut and lock that door from the inside and said, not only am I throwing you out of this man, but I am making sure you don't ever get back in him again. And the spirit cried. The father was crying. Now the spirit cries. You cry out to God. God make the demon spirits flee and cry. Listen. And the spirit cried and rent. That means tore. And tore him sore. Just wanted to throw one more fit. Just while I'm coming out, I'm going to do everything I can to destroy him. That's the spirit of this age. People are trying to destroy everything that's holy, everything that's good. They're murdering people. If they can't kill their testimony, they'll kill their bodies. We are having, listen, 2,000 people a day are dying of COVID. Did I say that right? Coronavirus. But dear soul, there's far more than that. Also being killed by human beings. It's unreal. Shooting people down. Bragging on it. Listen. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And then he was as one dead. Prior to this, he only had demon life. Demon would make him foam at the mouth. The demon would make him go where the demon wanted him to go. If there was fire there, he'd throw him in it. If there was water there, he'd plunge him into it. So the man only had demon life. So when Jesus called the spirit out of him, he lay there as one that was dead. God's going to have to raise him up and give him spiritual life. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Up to that point, all of the activity that he had came from the forces of darkness. Now they were gone. So he lays there on the ground as if he were dead. Insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus, I like this, took him by the hand and lifted him up. Oh, thank God. Praise the Lord for his kindness to us. Once I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but the Lord forgave me, came to where I was, and he took me by the hand, and that hand of his brought life out of himself into me and lifted me up. But I wasn't just, you know, a bag of jelly and wobbling, couldn't stand. He strengthened me in grace. He strengthened me in redemption. There was a resurrection of this man. Jesus told Mary and Martha and that bunch, he said, I am the resurrection. They said, well, he'll raise it the last day. Listen, folks, don't let religion teach you that the resurrection is only a day at the end of the age. The resurrection is Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, not just an event that you have had taught you by religion. So he takes him by the hand and raises him up, and he arose. Isn't that good? And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we do that? He expected them to do that. He said, oh, ye of little faith, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I've thought about that verse, and I wonder what all he meant by it. This kind of demon can only come out if you're fortified with prayer and you have lost consciousness of your own personal needs, even to your food. I ain't just talking about, well, it's Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. This is when we start fasting, and we fast by the clock. No. He's talking about losing all self-consciousness to the degree that you want God's will to be done in some particular incident, and you pray in that spirit of prayer. You set yourself aside, and you grieve over that which is wrong, and that kind of demon can only be brought out with that kind of dedication and devotion. Maybe that's not all of what's meant there, but that's part of what I see. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them it can be done. And we understand then by Mark 9 and 18, which is the point of this whole passage being read to you, wheresoever he taketh, he the demon taketh him, the young man, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. He is angry and bitter at any decency. He is angry and bitter at any godliness. He grits his teeth in pain if there is anything to do with God and his gospel. I want you to hear that. When we're talking about gnashing with your teeth, you better understand, dear soul, that you see people that angry with you and that angry with the things going on in the church, you be careful, because that's demonic forces. And those who have that kind of inner darkness, God said, I'm going to put them in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that outer darkness eternally. How do we handle this? Prayer and fasting. Praying in such a way, using your gift of prayer that God has given you. You have the double intercession of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:34 and of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 8:26, and I may have them backwards. But anyhow, the intercession of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:26 and 34. God will intercede for you and make sure that your prayers are brought into the presence of Almighty God when you get to the point to where this thing is at which you have got to have for the glory of God. You need this thing to be. It's got to be done. It's got to be moved out of the way. And you are warring against the forces of darkness. Jesus said that'll do it. But remember, Mark 9:18. Gnashing of teeth is from demonic forces and demon possession. Now, in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 43. Here is how it happens. Matthew 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. There's no humidity. Okay, let's say a root out of dry ground. Let's go that way. There's nothing to draw from for the plant to be nourished and to prosper and bring forth fruit. So he goes through dry places. He can't draw anything from being outside of this body. He can't replenish himself in the moisture of life. He walketh through dry places. Listen, seeking rest. Satan, where have you been? Jesus asked, as listed in the book of Job. He said, from walking back and forth in all the earth. Can't rest. The wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. Can't rest. You see that water comes up out of the ocean and sloshes up on the bank into the just little grains of sand that hold the whole ocean back. But here it comes again. And then here comes another wave. And one after that. And it doesn't ever cease. God said, that's how the wicked are. They're like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. So the unclean spirit is gone out of the man. He walketh through dry places. He walketh. He's not resting. He can't sit down. He can't be comfortable. Seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I'm just going to go back to that man that I come out of. He calls him my house. The demons love to live in human beings. And God's going to turn everybody that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody that's not born of the Spirit, he's going to turn them over for demon bait in the outer darkness of eternal damnation. Glad I'm saved. Then he said, I will return unto my house. This is a demon talking. From whence I came out. He says, and when he is come, he findeth it empty. Nobody in there to keep him out. Empty, swept. It's a nice clean place now that you got the demon out and garnished. It looks nice. But dear soul, this man, he may have had some religious experience. Maybe he went down the aisle at the old country church or down the sawdust trail and made a decision. And sure enough, can you believe it? Old Joe, he used to cuss all the time. Ever since he went down the sawdust trail, we don't hear him cursing anymore. He's curbed his drinking and his alcoholism. He's being gracious to his wife and his kids. He's showing up for work on his job on time. He's swept and garnished. But here comes the demon back. And we're going to find out in 2 Peter chapter 2 in a moment that his nature hadn't been changed, so he's going to go back and lick up that vomit he puked out, when he made a decision for Jesus. But he was empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, that is demons. Hey, boys, come here. I want to show you something. I used to dwell in this house, in this man, in this individual, in this human being. And look how clean and nice it is now. Y'all want to come in and share the rent with me? He said, and seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelt there, and the latter state of that man is worse than the first. Watch it now. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. all those people that ate his bread that he blessed and broke, all those people that were healed of all their diseases. Jesus didn't require anybody to do anything to be healed except to be sick. And dear soul, don't kid yourself. He did not spiritually regenerate. He did not spiritually give the new birth to everybody that he healed. But they had an effect of him, and they knew who he was. And all these houses, all these Israelites out of whom these demons were cast, were swept and garnished and empty. And then here comes seven more demons, more wicked than the first, and filled those Israelites who did not get filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, in case you think I'm stretching this, in case you think this ain't true, listen, this is Matthew 12:45b, the last part. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. The book of 2 Peter. Chapter 2. He begins to talk about preachers that are not called of God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. For when they, these wells without water, these to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever, in verse 17, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, it has an effect. They allure. It draws them in. Many are called, but few are chosen. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, through much filthiness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. This person, before he got involved with these wells without water preachers, before he got involved with those to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever, he wasn't saved, but he wasn't full of demons. And dear soul, you get involved with religion and you don't get involved with Christ, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. That's why it scares me when I remember and think back on my life myself, when as a young man, I made a profession of faith in the First Baptist Church in Eufaula, Alabama, and I lived 7 years as a lost church member. And why this didn't happen to me is only because of the almighty grace of God, and that God wanted me to be able to see and perceive these scriptures clear enough to come over here and of all things preach a message on gnashing of teeth. Who ever heard of such a message? Well, that's what God gave me to come over here and preach to you. And he says, while they promised them liberty, while these preachers promised these poor people liberty, they themselves, the preachers themselves, are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. They've been overcome by the spirits of darkness, and they're in bondage. Now, listen. For if after they have escaped, listen, the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did I say? What do we call him? Joe, I guess. Ever since Joe went down the Sawdust Trail, he's quit drinking. He has escaped the pollutions of the world, but he only got the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It had an effect on him, but it's not going to last. And it's going to set him up for getting involved in the worst possible condition a man can be in, involving himself with demons and beginning to gnash with his teeth. Listen, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they didn't escape sin. They just escaped the pollutions of the world. They didn't get born again and see how lovely and precious and glorious the Lord is and begin to praise God for His grace and His mercy. They just escaped the pollutions of the world. How did they do it? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man's not saved, just got involved with the gospel, got involved with the do's and don'ts of religion, got involved with legalistic, clean living, and abandoned all that stuff. And it says, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, and you heard what that demon did, went and found seven more spirits. You be careful. You don't get Christ, you can get yourself in a worse mess than you were in to start with. They are again entangled therein and overcome. Listen, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Was he in the beginning before all this started? Was he a saved man? No. But he was a moral man. That's good. Don't you think everybody ought to be moral? I think everybody in America ought to be moral. I think they ought to abstain from every evil lust. Don't you? It's good that men are moral, that you can trust them. And if he shakes your hand and say, this is the deal, you can believe it. He's an honest man, but he ain't saved. Morality is not redemption. You can be moral and not be saved. But if you're saved, it will not just include morality, it will include righteousness in the presence and in the eyes of God. So this man hears the word from these false preachers, wells without water. They speak great swelling words of vanity. They got such a gift of gab, they could sell ice boxes to Eskimos. And it lured him in. And he said, you know what? I need to start doing better. Well, getting the case of the do better is not getting born again. And so he says, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, he's in worse shape now than he would have been if he had not gone to church that day. Because he's gone from morality, not just to immorality, but to demon possession. Listen. For it had been better for them. Now, I'm reading the Bible. You need to hear this. This ain't America's God. This is not religion's God, but this is the God. For if it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Jesus said, he that knew not his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with few stripes. That's the condition of the man before he got involved with false religion. But he that knew his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. You just brought this man into a worse judgment than he would have had if he hadn't come to your revival that year. You better be careful trying to win souls to Jesus. Listen, dear friend, God sires his children, not you. There's only one that can cause a person to be born again, and that's the Holy Spirit. And then listen, verse 22 of 2 Peter chapter 2. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. You got a proverb for this? Yep. What is it? The dog, not a sheep. You didn't get a new nature. Still got the nature of the dog. What will dogs do? You know, you've owned old Spot for a long number of years. You've known old Rover for a long lifetime. You know what he'll do. He'll vomit out because he got sick at his stomach, but a little while later you see him out there licking it back up again. God said that's what the proverb is regarding this man that got filled with demons. Listen, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, not a sheep, didn't get a new nature, that was washed, has jumped back in the mud hole. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, they didn't have a change of nature. It seems like it'd be a good time to bring the bee and the bumble, and the buzzard back up again. You remember that account? Turn a bumblebee and a buzzard loose in a cow pasture. What will happen? The bee will go to flowers and extract the nectar. The buzzard will go to the dead carcass. You can't get the bee to consume the dead carcass. He may like Samson, his proverb, the bees may make a beehive and make honey in the skeleton of the carcass that remains, but they're not going to be involved with the consuming of that carcass like the buzzard will. Why does the buzzard go to eat the dead carcass? Why does the bee go to the flower? It's their nature. This person here, though involved with religion, still was a dog. She still was a sow. They joined the church. They got involved with the church community. And now they come around to your house and y'all go shopping together and you enjoy their company and got involved. But something ain't right. Sooner or later, they stop coming to church. And sooner or later, you stop calling them and asking them, is everything all right because I didn't see you at church? And sooner or later, it will manifest itself that they're not a sheep. They're still a dog. They're still a sow. And just because they were influenced by gospel morality, it doesn't mean that they were born again. And now you can't take them back and return them to the place of redemption that they once had. It's impossible. Let me show you that. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. You can't take them back to the place to where they are candidates for redemption. If it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, they got involved in tasting of the gospel, they were made influenced by the Holy Spirit, not enlivened, but influenced. When they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It's like the earth. When the rain comes down, if briars come up and thorns come up, you can't make them tomato vines. You can't make them to be butter beans. They are what they are. So when the rain of the gospel comes down and has an effect on the heart, if they're not genuine in their repentance and faith, then it's going to be briars and thorns. They're still going to be dogs and sows. And these are those that gnash on you with their teeth. And they will eventually gnash on you with their teeth, because that's what demons do, and that's what is associated with outer darkness. Well, we got a few more minutes. Let me read you some more scriptures. In John chapter 3, a passage that you know very well, let me bring it up in regards to this message and let you see it maybe in a different light than you've ever seen it before. John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They were already condemned. Now, that's what God has done. Now, what about man's relationship to that? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, the condemnation is in the world, but Jesus didn't come to do it. John 3:17. He didn't come to condemn the world, but there is condemnation in the world. How'd he get here? Listen. He that believeth on him is not condemned, because Jesus came into the world that the world might be saved. If you believe in him, condemnation is not part of you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, failing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ brings the condemnation. Jesus didn't bring it. Your unbelief brought it upon you. Now, what is condemnation? Verse 19, John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. Understand this, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why would they do that? Because their deeds are evil. The reason that person stays a sow or a dog is because they never separated themselves from their wicked and evil deeds that they love. They have to hide them now, put them in the background, so that they can come and be baptized and go to the new converts class and get them a Bible and make them friends of those who really are born again. But sooner or later, those yearnings and those hungers and appetites for the things of the world will cause the dog to go back and say, I got to have that back again. It will cause that sow to say, I really enjoyed that mud. These people just don't know and understand. So because they're not of a sheep but of a sow and a dog, they get back into their vileness, and pretty soon that one that you thought was your friend and that one that you thought was genuinely saved is now expressing characteristics of dogs and sows openly because they don't care anymore because their deeds are evil. They never have been anything but that. They were suppressed for a while. A man sat in my living room with tears in his eyes and said, I'm going to quit running around with other women. He's a married man, had children. And I'm not going to drink anymore. And I want you to baptize me. And I said, why do you want me to baptize you? He said, "Here, this is the wrong answer. So I can get my wife back. Uh-oh. Well, he wouldn't have it any other way. And his wife was thrilled to death. And she wanted him baptized. Their friends thought, this is great. We want him baptized. I baptized the man. He went down a dry center and came up a wet center. And it wasn't 6 months later the man was drinking again and running around with other women. He returned to his wallowing in the mire. He returned to his vomit and licked it up again. You can't keep him from doing that. It will manifest itself. And it says, this is condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. If they hate the light, then they will gnash on anything or anybody that has anything to do with bringing light to bear upon them. They'll gnash on you with their teeth. That is, they will grate the teeth in pain or in rage, and it has to do with outer darkness. And he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of life. So they will gnash on Christ and his people with their teeth. Neither cometh to the light. Why? Because if you shine light on them, it reproves them in their deeds. And they don't like that. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You know why? He knows that which doth make manifest is light, and he wants the light to shine on him, like the man said, Lord, I believe, but shine your light on me and see if there's any unbelief in me and get rid of that. Help now my unbelief. He wants the Lord to shine upon him. Christians, true, born-again believers, want God to shine on them. Listen, folks have abandoned this congregation over the years like rats off a sinking ship because they can't stand the light of the gospel. But those who are remaining, they say, I need this light. I want this light. I need God to convict me. I need God to convince me. And it doesn't matter to me how hard the messages are. It's a blessing to me to see myself and make sure that I am not an apostate. Our time is gone. Lord willing, we shall look at this a little bit more in our second lesson. What an unusual message. Gnashing of teeth. Never have seen it before. Never have been called on by the Holy Spirit to preach it before. You're hearing it for the first time from me on this subject. And I thank God that he's been kind enough to reveal these things to us. May God bless you.